A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer. Wow. Too much energy?
That was a lot. But I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you. Share your comments and thoughts and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we're not experts. We are just podcast hosts, and we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Let's kick things off with a recommendation.
I like this one. Here we go.
Hey, Kate and Dori. Okay, finished my order at the drive-thru, and I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a little late catching up on episodes, but just listened to the episode with Vanessa Marin, and I thought it was fantastic. And just a comment for any women who think that they can't orgasm, for years I thought that climaxing was out of my physical ability, and I finally just bit the bullet and bought a magic wand, like a Hitachi OG magic wand, like the kind that you plug into the wall. So highly, highly recommend that, if for no other reason than to teach my body that I actually can climax, which then sort of opened up a Pandora's box of other fun sex stuff. So also, it's really, really great for sinus headaches. Like, I put it on my nose and around my cheeks if I'm having a sinus headache. I also use it, actually, as a massager sometimes. So if I, you know, have a backache or whatnot. Anyways, it's great for all kinds of bits and bobs, but mostly it's great at a very intense and very quick orgasm, particularly for people who think it's out of the realm of possibility for them. Thanks so much. Y'all are the greatest. Bye-bye.
Do you clean it?
No. Why would you?
If you're like, oh, I need to massage my sinuses.
After you have that orgasm, you just get under their sinus. You pop it on your head.
Okay. All right.
And then you pop it on the back.
Good to know.
I mean, hey.
I guess it's all your body.
It is all your body. Yeah. It's all that good stuff.
Okay.
I have never tried in a Hitachi wand outside of just being at Sharper Image and seeing them there.
Oh,
and like
sure.
Picking one up and being like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. They were marketed as massagers, right?
Yes, but yes. Like there is a very infamous Sex and the City episode because that is Samantha's vibrator of choice. I mean, it looks like a plunger, like a teeny kind of plunger.
Right. Yes.
I would definitely give it a go, though. Sounds fantastic.
I mean, you could probably get Hitachi to send you one.
Hitachi, do you listen to this podcast? Do you want to send me one of your massagers and then I'll tell you how about cures my sinus headaches? Great. No, I mean, all joking aside, we all agree that having an orgasm is a valuable part of life, and we appreciate recommendations for what helps you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so excited that this listener figured out what works for them. And this is, it's kind of a holy grail product in the world of orgasms.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say it's a holy grail vibrator?
Yes, but like, yeah. Yes.
Like when we do an episode on Holy Grail products.
The Hitachi wand.
We'll be in the vibe category.
Okay. Oh, we'll have a vibe category.
FYI, we're having a vibe category.
Okay. Good to know.
An email, Dori.
Yes. Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm a bit behind on the podcast, but I just listened to episode 84 where you talked about people who shower in the afternoon. I'm an archaeologist, so I can get pretty sweaty and dirty during the day. And in the summer, the very first thing I want to do when I get home is take a shower. In the winter, I'm pretty covered up and not as dirty, but a hot shower warms me up and fixes my hat hair. I do run into the problem that I don't really know when to do skincare steps, though. In the morning, I use vitamin C moisturizer and sunscreen, and in the afternoon, wash my face in the shower. But then in the summer, I'm going right back outside for socializing or outdoor activities, so I just put on more sunscreen. I don't usually wear makeup, and I don't feel the need to wash my face again just a couple hours after showering. In the winter, it's dark by the time I get out of the shower, so I do more of a routine with serums, etc., and don't need more sunscreen, but I'm in that weird transitional time here in New England.
This, to me, a micellar water, like when I've done that thing where I've like showered at 2 and then yeah. And then at like 10 o'clock I'm washing my face. Sometimes I just give myself a little swipe mm-hmm. with my Bioderma micellar water, micellar. Never figured it out.
But what would you do at 2? That I think that's what she's asking.
At 2 p.m., I would still be sunscreening even in a weird transitional time.
Oh, totally. But would you? Would you use your vitamin C moisturizer again?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I don't think so.
Okay. I probably would.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because presumably if it's like 2 p.m., like you have hours until bedtime, right?
Well, they specify that it's a vitamin C moisturizer. It's not a serum, right? So they're not doing vitamin mm-hmm. C serum and then a moisturizer. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I guess if it's your moisturizer, it's probably fine, right?
Yeah.
If you were, I wouldn't double serum.
Okay. But she says in the winter, because it's dark, when she gets out of the shower, she does more of a routine with
serums. The serums, yeah. And don't need more sunscreen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's fair because it is basically nighttime by 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think that's true. That is tricky. It does kind of throw your day.
Right. And then are you doing like 3 skincare routines a day?
That's why I think you need like a recess skincare.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean by that? Like, does that make sense? Like you have your lunch break, but then you have a snack break. This would be like the snack break
right.
of skincare.
Right. So it's not the full routine.
No, like a swipe and then a squish of moisture. Or mm-hmm. even, what about just like a spritz of mist?
And sunscreen.
All right. We have a voicemail suggestion.
Great.
Hi, Kate and Dory. My name's Anna. I live in New York, and I'm calling in with a recommendation, actually, of an activity to do with a group of friends or, you know, really anyone that you feel comfortable and close with, and that's to host a vision boarding party. I've done this twice now. I'm 24. I did it. No, I'm not. I'm 23. I did it in college, and then I did it just last week, and especially as someone who moved and just kind of established a new girlfriend group, it's such a fun, grounding thing to do. So, yeah, I basically just went to a craft store and got a bunch of cork boards and really beautiful paper and supplies. And then you have everyone over, have some snacks, we ordered pizza, and everyone just vision boards together. And it's super positive. You get to hear about all your friends' hopes and dreams, which is lovely. I feel like it filled me up for the week being an ambivert. It definitely made me feel supported and loved. And it's also a really lovely thing just to have in your space every day. I now have 2 vision boards, 1 cork and 1 magnetic. So I really, really recommend that. Also, shout out to my best friend who lives back home in Wisconsin, Darcy, who showed me this podcast. It brings me so much joy and grounds me in my week. So thank you both and have a great rest of your week.
Aww.
Thanks, Darce.
Thank you. I also love that she said as an ambivert.
Oh, I heard introvert.
Oh, I thought she said ambivert.
Either way, it's interesting.
Yeah.
As an ambivert, that would mean someone who's both introverted and extroverted.
I believe so.
I mean, that's how I identify. Yeah. Is that also how you identify? Mm-hmm. Oh, look at us. Mm-hmm. I do like making a vision board. I feel a bit shy about doing it in front of other people. So this might be a good practice.
Oh, interesting.
Just because you are being very vulnerable, because I feel like sometimes the things that we hope for, aspire for, wish for, or even set out as goals can be very personal.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, admitting that you believe in yourself in such a deep way can be Oh, just very vulnerable.
Yeah, that's true.
So I like that you do this with people. And it's also interesting that you did it with a new group of friends. Like,
totally.
What a way just to like get to know
Talk
each other.
Talk about icebreaker.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Okay. This next email speaks to me.
I love this one.
All right. In response to your conversations about home clutter, cleaning, and organization, I've found continued success in keeping a tidy home by following the advice/teachings of minimalists and simple living voices. I am by no means an actual minimalist. I need a variety of facial scrub options. But I've found their mindset of simplifying life to be a revolutionary force in keeping a clean, calm home, and as a result, a positive effect on my personal well-being. When listening to your recent conversation, I kept thinking of the simple living line of advice. If organizing your stuff worked, you'd be organized by now.
Whoa. This resonated with me very deeply.
Yep. You have to get rid of it and be ruthless about what comes back into your home. If you'd like to learn more, a few of my favorites to start with, each with a variety of tools available, books, podcasts, even just helpful posts on Instagram. Courtney Carver, Be More with Less. Danae Barahona, Simple Families. Rochelle Crawford, Abundant Life with Less. Erica Lane, Life on Purpose. I'm going to look into these books on my Kindle because I don't want to acquire any additional books.
Oh, there you are being ruthless again. I just loved the line of, if organizing your stuff worked, you'd be organized by now. I mean, I read that and it really hit me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And also felt like a little bit of a relief
because
I was like, you're right. Maybe this doesn't work.
Like, release yourself from that.
And being ruthless is hard.
It is very hard. It is very, very hard.
Here was another clutter-related call.
Hi, Kate and Dory. You guys are fab. Listen to you all the time. You're keeping me company on a late-night drive right now. And you guys are talking about organization and doing, like, a quick 10-minute cleanup. And something that's really worked well for me is definitely this 10-minute cleanup at night or in the morning, like while I'm doing my get ready stuff. But also I have picked a drawer. I made it a weekly goal to pick a drawer or a cabinet, just one every single week, and clean one out because it feels very manageable, very tackleable without being overwhelming. And then you slowly just work through everything. And sometimes it's a big thing, like a big hall closet. And sometimes it's that weird cutlery drawer that you have in your house that needs to be reorganized and thrown out. So just a thought. Hope you're well. Thanks so much. Bye.
Great.
There's so many drawers.
So many drawers.
I could tackle in the drawer a week.
Yeah, same.
I don't even have a hall closet. Do you?
Yes.
You do have a hall closet? Like a closet for coats and stuff?
No. It's like a storage closet. It's where, like, what do we even have in there?
It's the catch-all closet?
It's the catch-all closet because there's, like, no storage in the house.
Yeah, we don't have any real storage either.
Which is probably because people 100 years ago did not have this much stuff.
There was no fast fashion in 1928.
Exactly. They didn't need huge closets.
Whoa.
Wow. Just got really upset about that. Rein it in.
No, but I think
Shafrir.
Shafrir, let it out. You just let it all out.
But, you know, this sounds so simple, but like, right, they didn't have as much stuff. I'm always complaining about how my house has no storage. But in fact, maybe it has the perfect amount of storage.
And you have too much stuff.
Yes.
Dory,
yeah,
you seem kind of shook by this.
I'm kind of shook. Like, I feel like I've thought about this, but in a negative way.
Like, oh, there are no closets in our house.
There are no closets in our house. Like, people used to not have much stuff, but now they're not good for our current age. And now I'm like, wait, maybe the people 100 years ago had, like, they were onto something. I'm reframing the narrative of the storage in my house.
Maybe you don't need.
And saying maybe my house has the perfect amount of closets and storage and I just have too much stuff. And maybe I need to adapt the amount of stuff I have to my house and not make my house try to adapt to the amount of stuff I have. In other news.
How do you break up with your hairstylist? Mine is a family acquaintance, and my husband booked me an appointment with her when I moved to town and desperately needed a haircut. This was over 2 years ago. Since then, I've seen her religiously every 6 to 7 weeks. She's done my do for our wedding, and we've developed a very sweet relationship. She's my mother's age, and she's been styling for about as long as I've been alive, so she's very experienced. However, my past several appointments have been less than satisfactory. She either cuts too much, the layers feel choppy, my highlights are sloppy, and don't cover my roots, and I have to go home and restyle it again myself because she leaves frizzy ends and creases with her flat iron. She's soon selling the salon to one of the other stylists and opening her own independent salon across town. I would much rather continue going to the existing salon and switch to one of the other two stylists who are also in their 30s, know the current trends and styles, and I've seen their exceptional skills. My stylist has already commented about our future appointments at her new shop, so I'm terrified of hurting her feelings. How do I handle this breakup? Do I just not schedule future appointments, and once she's moved, book with one of the others, or do I confess the truth?
So I've thought about this email a lot since I read it. And I know I'm usually a proponent of direct confrontation, but I'm going to advise passive aggressiveness in this instance.
Well, now consider me sure. Okay, go on.
I'm going to advise ghosting this hairstylist.
For just because it's too much to get into it?
Yes. You say she's a family acquaintance. I guess I need to know how close of an acquaintance she is. Like, are you going to run into this person?
It sounds like this person lives in a small community. That's why the ghosting part. If this person lived in like Paris or Mexico City or a very large place.
I retract my ghosting suggestion. You're right. But I guess I don't think you need to be fully truthful. I guess is what I'm, maybe that's what I want to say.
Are you suggesting like if there is a reasonable excuse you could give this person?
Well, you do say it's across town. Perhaps it's not as convenient as the current salon.
I mean, I also think you can just say, the challenging thing for me is that you're in a professional relationship with this person.
Yes.
And so I think it's fair to say, like, you know what? I just think that so-and-so fits my needs more for what I want my hair to look like. You're wonderful, but I want to go with this person who's my age. The challenge is the acquaintance.
Would you be able to have that conversation with someone who your family also knew?
Well, that's the problem. It's like it's in addition to the fact that you're paying them for a service, they're also a family friend. And it sounds like they're a family friend of this person's spouse because it said my husband booked me an appointment when I moved to town. I used to really rely on ghosting because I'm so terrified of confrontation and of disappointing people.
Yeah.
But in this situation, I actually think I would choose the path of direct communication.
That is a kinder path.
Because I think it's also rather than you having to then live your life like of hoping not to run into them and making up an excuse. I just think you have to have the hard conversation. And if this person ends the friendship, then so be it.
I would maybe give your husband a heads up, though, that you're going to do this.
I just think there's a totally polite and kind way to say to someone, you know what? I love everything. Like, I really have liked what you've done for me, but I would love to try somebody else. And I know this might be awkward or hard, and I wasn't sure how to say this, but I'd rather be honest with you. I'm going to go see, you know, try out so-and-so at their salon and just see how that goes.
See, you are a mature person.
I don't know if I would actually have the courage. I mean, this is advice I'm offering to another person. Would I have the courage to do this? I don't know. It's scary. And that relationship with someone like a hairstylist or the person who does your nails or whatever, these kind of, you do form a friendship, even if, you know, they're not a family acquaintance, you know, and it can, like a therapist too, it can feel personal.
But it's also, like you said, it is a professional relationship. So, you know, theoretically, it should be fine to just not schedule future appointments with her, but I guess you can't really do that.
This is actually a perfect segue to this voicemail that we have here.
Great.
Because this is a therapist who called in with communication tips, specifically about a previous listener email. But I feel like this could apply in this situation.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Caitlin from Virginia. I was just listening to your most recent mini episode, and I thought I would call in about the caller whose friend was being critical of her parenting. And Dory, you gave some good advice about sharing how you feel, but I noticed when you gave the advice, I'm a therapist and I teach communication skills all day long. And a thing people often do when they say, try to make an I statement, I feel whatever, is they say, I feel like you, whatever. And that is not actually sharing a feeling. That's kind of like a veiled accusation that often can cause the other person to respond defensively. So rather than saying, I feel like you've been critical of my parenting of Juliet lately, what's going on? I would recommend that the caller say something like, you know, I feel defensive when you make comments about my parenting, and I really respect you and your judgment. And, so when you give me suggestions like that, a lot of the time it makes me question my own parenting ability, and I feel like that ends up making me a worse parent. So to kind of like highlight the actual feelings that she feels when her friend makes these comments, because they could go back and forth all day arguing about whether or not the friend is actually being critical, right? But they can't argue about that when the friend makes those comments, the caller's feelings are what they are. And then another suggestion, if the caller wants to set a boundary, a lot of times when people are setting boundaries, they use the word but. You know, I really value your friendship, but I'm going to need for you not to make comments about my parenting of Juliet, right? And I just, something that I suggest is that people use the word and. I really value your friendship, and I'm going to have to, and I would prefer that you not make comments about my parenting of Juliet unless I explicitly ask you for advice. Anyway, I just wanted, that's what I was calling to say. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Thanks for making the podcast. I really enjoy it every week, and I hope you guys have a good day.
What great advice.
So in this back to the hairstylist situation, I've really enjoyed having used my hairstylist, and I've decided to try someone new and see how that goes. And that person is the people who are at your old salon. And bye. I mean, I know that I'm not trying to make, I mean, that is, I think that does sound better.
Yes, of course.
But I thought this was really good advice for any sort of communication. And it applied so clearly to the previous hairstylist conversation. So thank you, listener, for those tips.
I feel like a jerk about my original advice.
But why? I mean, you could also ghost in this way. No? Trying to back you up here.
No.
I don't think you should feel bad about your original advice. These are really awkward situations, and often that is how we navigate them. And oftentimes, it's for the best to do it that way.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to think about this.
Again, if the listener was living in a large metropolis,
I know,
ghosting would be easy.
I ghosted my last hairdresser.
I have to think, I would love hairdressers to weigh in here. What do you want to do when clients have decided to move on? Anybody, therapist, hairstylist, makeup artist, whatever, whoever it is, when you have this kind of client relationship, what's the best? How do you like to be communicated to about this stuff?
Great question.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take another short break.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
How about this next question?
It's a doozy.
It is.
But I have thoughts.
Do you want me to read it?
Yes.
Great. All right. My question is geared towards both of you, Kate and Dory, and your listeners who are mothers or care for children. I'm wondering what ways people try to care for themselves in the early years of their children's lives. I currently have an almost 3-year-old and a 7-month-old. I have a full-time job in healthcare. I have a supportive spouse and the help of a wonderful babysitter, but essentially there's no time for things outside of work/childcare. I'm not exaggerating. My children wake up between 5:30 and 6 a.m. and the infant still eats at least once overnight, and the toddler often wakes up crying 2 to 3 times a week. Although my husband and I divide and conquer overnight awakenings, we can never get a full night's rest to allow for getting up before the kids for self-care. Similarly, after I rush home from work to spend an hour or two with the little ones before their bedtime, the protracted bedtime ritual leaves little energy to focus on any self-care. As a result, my energy, diet, and our relationship suffers. So in essence, how do other individuals in my position find time to carve out self-care practices? Something you do during the day or even with your children. Evenings out are challenging due to limited evening care support, a toddler who refuses bedtime, and honestly, some guilt about more time away from kids. Children have been the biggest joy and blessing, but also the biggest challenge, and I have a hard time seeing a future where I won't be caring to the immediate needs of a small person essentially around the clock, although I'm told it gets better. I love that some of your guests have addressed this, but would love to hear from you, your community as well.
Listener, I am a parent of 2 children who are now elementary school aged, but they are about two and a half years apart.
So like roughly the same.
Roughly the same.
Yeah.
And the time that you are in, I would say specifically right now, is the time that almost wrecked me. I mean, it did wreck me. I was in a really rough emotional, mental, physical space when my second child was an infant. It is really hard. And I did not really start to feel reconnected with myself and able to practice real self-care practices until my second child was almost 3 years old. And this is a combination of my career at the time. I was working full time. It was really busy and I often had to work really late nights and overnights and all sorts of wild stuff. And my husband's job, I mean, it was similar to what you describe, exhausting. And we were also fortunate to have, be able to have a babysitter and that sort of stuff, and childcare. But it did not, it did not negate the exhaustion. So I will say, yes, it does get better. 2, I will say it's really hard and it can be really hard for a little while. And 3, one thing that I have had to think about a lot when in relation to guilt about spending, quote, more time away from my kids is that you have to take care of yourself in order to be able to take care of other people. And that can apply to anyone. Doesn't just mean a person with children. It means being a good manager. It means being a good caregiver to an adult parent who might need you, or a sibling, or someone else that you look after. You have to find time to care for yourself in order to then be there for your kids. So if it is possible for you, my suggestion would be to take one night, even at one night a month, away from the bedtime routine. And I would say maybe your partner might also want to have this opportunity and go do something for yourself, whatever that is, reading a book in the library, going for a walk, volunteering, getting a manicure, I don't know, whatever, exercise. Just start fitting in, like connect with your partner on this and figure out ways where you can each carve out time and the other can handle 2 kids at a time, even though I know that's can be crazy. I wouldn't try. I mean, it's lovely to do things with your children, but is that really going to feel good? I know, like, anytime I ever tried to do any sort of self-care practice with my kids, it's not relaxing.
No.
Something you can do during the day? Do you work in a place where you can take a break at lunch and read a book for 15 minutes? Do you work in a place where you can take a walk around the block? I mean, those are the little eat outside.
Yeah.
Just go stand in the sunlight for 5 minutes. Even like window shopping, I sometimes find mentally relaxing.
Yeah.
An episode of Schitt's Creek does it for me. I know I talk about it too much, but so that's a lot of info. I don't know if any of it is useful. Dora, do you have thoughts as a person with a new child?
I do. I don't know how this advice is going to be received because I know it can be slightly controversial, but have you thought about sleep training your 7-month-old and not having them wake up to eat during the night? Because I think by 7 months old, unless there is a medical reason for them to be eating during the night, I do not believe they have to be eating during the night. So if you are able to train them to not eat during the night, that might help you get some better sleep. I would also maybe suggest hiring a sleep consultant to help you with the toddler, with the toddler's bedtime routine, then also the waking up 2 to 3 times waking up crying 2 to 3 times a week. Oh, I first read that 2 to 3 times a night.
I did too. I did too.
It's 2 to 3 times a week. So that might help you as well. I know that people with toddlers around this age sometimes have success with the okay to wake clock.
I never tried that.
Where, you know, they can't get up until they see the green light. So, you know, your baby would be waking up, probably still be waking up early, but maybe you could get another half hour or 45 minutes out of your toddler staying in bed, possibly. I don't know.
That's a tough time. My youngest woke up in the middle of the night up until, like, I would say until she was about 5 years old. It was a lot. She just had a hard time sleeping and dreams and crying.
Like I said, these suggestions might be totally worthless, but perhaps they are worth looking into because it sounds like the interrupted sleep is very stressful.
That's brutal.
I know for me, once Henry started sleeping through the night, I just felt so much more human. You know, even if I'm not getting, you know, a ton of sleep, being able to get uninterrupted sleep is just so important to your mental and physical well-being, I think. So I would do what you can to try to cut out that night feeding. That would be my first real suggestion. And, you know, if you're nervous about it, I would say talk to your pediatrician. Maybe they have some advice, but yeah, that would be my sort of practical advice on this front.
I do think talking to your partner and finding a way for, like, working out, even what, like a weekend morning, a Sunday morning, carving out a time where you each have a way to get some you time in is so crucial. And I will say, as a person whose kids are a little bit older, I understand how it can, the guilt of not being there every, you know, for every second that you can feel very heavy. Your kids will be fine.
Yeah.
They will be okay. They're going to value the quality of time you spend together, not the quantity. All right. We've got one final listener comment.
Great.
That kind of relates.
Hi, Kate, Dory, Sammy, and the rest of the pod gang. I'm calling because I was inspired in a couple of ways to start a morning routine. It started when I was inspired by a Facebook post that someone posted about waking up early to exercise before work. So I started doing that, which is not like me. I'm not a morning person, but I started waking up at 5:30 a.m., doing a yoga with Adrian video before work, and then sitting down and doing a quick journal in a 6-minute diary, which is ask you a few questions in the morning and a few questions at night to kind of do a quick gratitude practice. I've been really enjoying that. And then today I had a meeting offsite for work, and normally when meetings end early, I would call my boss and, you know, try and make myself useful, go back to work. Today, I decided I wanted to go home and watch Downton Abbey. So I didn't text my boss. I just went home, and it felt great, and it was fine. And I just want to thank you guys for contributing to conversations about self-care and making me feel empowered to do things that are pleasurable and do things to take care of myself. I just think it's a really important conversation for the world. And yeah, thanks so much. Love you. Bye.
Oh, love you too.
Love you. I love your morning practice, listener. Love it, love it. This is kind of what I'm constantly working on, but I love rising and with the dawn and just being alone. Well, we have really covered it all.
We truly have. Thank you all for bearing with us.
Remember, we started with the Hitachi wand, and now we're ending with self-care in the morning, dare I say.
I mean, I see where you're going.
The Hitachi wand could be part of your morning self-care.
Totally.
Hitachi, call us.
Well, on that note, we will talk to you all
bye
very soon. Bye.